question, because, you know, while we're asked to evaluate, you know, at very local, very localized efforts, very localized programs and strategies, it's weird that we don't have a larger evaluation system that exists out there that looks at, well, if we put more youth development centers here, then, you know, will we need less emergency rooms, emergency room visits? Will we have decreased number of kids getting into the justice system? You know, I think there's a meta evaluation that isn't taking place that we need to talk about at some point as well. Here's Dr. Butler.
Well, good morning, everybody. And gosh, it's really encouraging to hear that there are so many common threads that exist between the messages that we heard today. And again, I'll be sharing with you, out of all of the many exciting initiatives that are underway within Cleveland right now, including the Attorney General's Defending Childhood Initiative, but I'm going to be talking a little bit about how Cleveland has addressed one of the ways that Cleveland has addressed the issue of youth violence from a multi-sectoral public health approach. Then I will talk about some of the unique budgetary challenges that we faced in Cleveland. And then lastly, I'll talk about some of the strategies that we've used to keep the momentum going. But first, I would like to take this moment to thank Javier Morales from Unity for the opportunity to present to you today and to acknowledge our co-chair, Larry Cohen. Again, they've been tremendous partners in Cleveland. And again, this is my first opportunity to be directly involved, so really happy to be here. And I think we're supposed to say something about disclosures and anything to disclose. So. All right. So I will begin with a quotation, actually a statement that appeared in Unity's roadmap. It specifically relates to our mayor. It says, Mayor Frank Jackson has organized the police department, the public school system, and coming together to develop a plan to align resources for youth violence prevention and engage a wide range of partners. That basically forms the foundation or the framework for how youth violence has been addressed from a multi-sectoral approach here in Cleveland. Now, what that refers to is the Mayor's Youth Development Committee. Now, this is a special committee that's composed of a number of different players. Again, it's not just one, but it includes public health, community relations. We have a community relations board, the police department, the chief of education, workforce development, because that's a whole area that speaks to how do we get youth employed and involved. The Cleveland Public School System, which is a major partner. But also we tapped into some of our business sponsors, too, recognizing that they have a role and a stake in the whole issue of youth violence prevention, because that then turns around and affects their bottom lines as well. All right. Now, in addition to having all those partners that I talked about, there is a very significant youth component to this as well. It's called the 110. They're called the 110 because there are 110 of them. But anyway, these are paid city employees between the ages of 16 and 18 years old who provide leadership and staff support in the city's 22 recreation centers. So again, we've got actual youth involved working in the recreation centers, providing that leadership and almost that peer support. Now, of the 110, there are 22 of them. In other words, each recreation center has identified one of their paid employees, student employees, to serve as the Mayor's Youth Advisory Council. Now, this is really exciting because what they do is they meet with the mayor on a quarterly basis to share their concerns but also learn about important issues that are impacting the city. So they provide that youth voice, and they are really a very important source of leadership and a voice for youth. Now, another important part of what this Mayor's Youth Advisory Council is involved in is helping to develop the content of the Mayor's Youth Summit. This is an annual event where, again, all of the students from the entire Cleveland Metropolitan School District are brought together. And the council helps to determine topics for the workshop, those things that are important and impactful to youth. They are involved in T-shirt design so that every member who participates in this event gets a T-shirt that commemorates the main values, courage, character, and compassion. And also, they're involved in stage productions. And that's the other thing that we found, too. The talent that exists within these youth groups is absolutely phenomenal. And at the last Mayor's Youth Summit, we actually got them trained to do a stage production, and it was absolutely fantastic. So they were then able to take that experience to other schools to provide their version of peer-to-peer education and information along the topics that are most important to them. Now, so having done that, again, is one very important way that our mayor, and we're very fortunate, it's been a way to develop youth leadership, providing alternatives to violence. We can always say, you know, it'd be neat if our youth did not get involved in these activities, but it's very important to provide alternatives. If you take something away, you got to put something back in its place. It also provided a better understanding between the youth and the city's leadership. So often, there seems to be this huge disconnect and this inability to be able to converse with, but this provided a direct opportunity to do that. And then lastly, it provided and utilize the expertise of multiple sectors. I mean, you do have public safety, you had public health, you had workforce development, all of these players really coming together in a unified front. Now, probably our biggest champion in this whole initiative has been Mayor Frank Jackson. From the very, very beginning, he has been such a strong advocate for public health anyway, because he initially started as a city councilman. As a city councilman, he chaired the Health and Human Services Committee, and one of his charges was to continue to elevate the role of public health within all of city operations, helping all of us to understand the critical role that public health plays. Now, one of the other things that's very unique about our Mayor Jackson, and it's something that he's been actually recognized nationally for, and that is his ability to manage very effectively the resources within the city, the financial resources, even during the worst part of the economic recession. He's often been called upon by other mayors from other cities. He's been featured in Newsweek. He's been in all of our local publications because he's been able to do that since his election, which was actually January of 2006, to manage the budget every year without layoffs, which is very unique, without diminishing service levels. So that's been something that has been a legacy that he provided. But all of that changed this year. And it's a direct result of a major budgetary shift at the state level. Now, what happened? The state was faced with an $8 billion budget deficit, and our newly elected Governor Kasich decided that he would revise the budget, but unfortunately it was done so on the backs of the cities. And in particular, the direct general fund impact that we had, and also the indirect impact on service delivery. It really turned practically everything around for us. Now, let's just talk a little bit about how the states are funded. Primary funding sources included income tax, sales tax, federal grants, and reimbursements. So again, I think one of our other speakers talked about how support for youth violence prevention is important from the federal as well as the state levels. Now, the income tax and the sales tax are collected locally by the cities, and our arrangement had always been is that we would collect these funding, would send it down to the state. They would take, you know, from the top enough to manage their administrative expenses. Then the rest of that would be sent back to the city for things like operations, staff, and service delivery. Now, this has been a historic commitment that's been in place for 75 years. Now, again, as I mentioned, our governor eliminated those revenue sources for the city. It resulted in a $38 million deficit, $38 million deficit. So I can't begin to tell you the impact that it had. And again, in spite of all of our mayor's best efforts, it resulted in layoffs. It resulted in loss of service to our residents. It resulted in an increase in the burden on social services and healthcare networks directly. I lost my entire prevention unit. And again, that was just monumental. So what was our response to that? We could have just said, oh, well, you know, the money's gone, we can't do anything. But we know we have a commitment. We're in this for the long haul. So it really kind of forced us to consider some alternative funding strategies. How do we keep this work going in the face of such a dramatic shift? One was funding collaborations through local foundations. One of the things that Cleveland is noted for is a very strong philanthropic community. And one of the proven strategies that have worked for us in the past is when we were able to convene funding collaboratives where we can get foundations to come together to support a particular initiative. So that was one of the approaches that we used. Connecting with some of our non-traditional partners. I mean, there's so many organizations within the community in Cleveland. It forced us to really take a look at and to begin to align ourselves in ways that both and all of our organizations could benefit from, such as our Boys and Girls Clubs, et cetera. Community-involved testimonies, that was really important, too. And what that really means is getting the voice of the community to talk about how this really impacts them. It's involved in letter-writing campaigns. It's involved in sharing with our legislators just what these cuts actually meant in terms of and as it related to the quality of life in Cleveland. Establishing an endowment fund for public health. Now, this is actually an idea that I heard at the most recent Unity event, and I was just blown away by that. It was, I think, our colleagues in Detroit that talked about it, and they talked about, if I could kind of capsulize it, it was that it's the development of a fund that's basically funded and supported by the city employees where they contribute a certain amount of, just a small amount from their pay, each paycheck, and they put it together to form a foundation so that rather than being subject to, you know, the small kind of categorical grant funds with their time periods and their time frames, but to really have a very strong source of funding that allows us to really do this work. So I was really impressed by that, and we'll follow through to get more information on that. And then engaging the business community. I kind of touched upon it earlier when I talked about how the business community is a real key stakeholder in this, because so much of what goes on within the communities, whether it means the city that you're in is viewed as a less attractive or less appealing location for new businesses, whether it means the amount of time off that a mother has to spend because she's got to take care of a child who was injured through a gunshot or what have you. But there are really so many connecting points that really the business community has a large stake in that. So, again, what doesn't kill us will make us stronger. And even in the face of adversity, it really allows for enormous innovation, enormous creativity, enormous collaboration so that we continue to move this agenda forward. So thanks very much, and appreciate your time.
So this session was a breakout session, and it was focusing on Unity, sort of like the last 6 years of what we've learned. But, you know, what we've learned is that a public health approach is an important approach, is the approach to prevent youth violence. We've got a number of examples of how it works, that it can work. But we've also learned that, you know, the cities and the work that they do, they're kind of at the forefront of this at this point. You know, each of them's doing different strategies. And as Unity, this initiative that's coordinated by the Prevention Institute, as Unity, you know, what we do is we help them make the case. We try to highlight what's working and do this cross-pollinization of ideas.